Hi, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the occasional podcast that I do with men who stutter called He Stutters, She Asks Him. The podcast can be found at the blog, Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today I have the opportunity to chat with a gentleman who is going to share parts of his story, so please join me in welcoming Juan. Hey Juan, how's it going?
Hi Pam, how are you? It's going well, thank you.
Thanks, I'm well too. It's a nice lazy Sunday for me, and looking forward to jazzing that Sunday up by having a cool conversation with you.
Same here, actually.
All right, great. So to begin, would you introduce yourself to us? Tell us who you are and where you're from and what you do to keep yourself busy.
Sure. My name is Ali. I'm 29 years old. I am originally from Lebanon. I spent all my life in UAE, that's the United Arab Emirates, it's in the Middle East. I was working there for a while before I said to myself that it's time to pursue my master studies in Canada. So that's when I came here in 2009. I did a master's in computer science, and I graduated last year, and now I started working.
Great. What type of work did you find?
Well, I actually opened my own business.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's an IT project management and IT consultation.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I'm also a photographer, a freelance photographer. I had this for a hobby for 6 years. And now I actually I said to myself that it's time to make it an official thing, you know, commercial.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, great. So you kind of have two full-time entrepreneurial ventures going on.
Yeah, you can say that actually. Yeah. So I fill my time actually properly.
Yeah, I guess so. I was gonna say it. Keeps you pretty busy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So how does your speech impact the work that you do?
Well, I mean, the thing is, first, just to tell you a little bit about my stuttering experience.
Mm-hmm.
I started to stutter since I was 6 years old. I mean, as far as I can remember, or my parents can tell me. And I think I passed through a couple of stages where my stuttering was basically, it wasn't that bad for a couple of time, and then it became worse, and then it became good, and then bad. But then I would say that starting from the age of 15, it became really, really bad. You know, I was stuttering all the time. I had speech blocks. So, and also, a major problem was that basically the place I was living at, most of the people were always making fun of me, you know, and there were no places to go to, and you know, if I wanted to ask for help or to get, you know.
Right. So there was no therapy or support groups available where you grew up.
Yeah. There weren't actually any of them that I could use. So so basically, by the time I was over with high school and I had to go to university around the age of 18, 19, that is when I finally said to myself that, you know, it's time that it's time that I have to seek the answers on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that so basically I started to read around, I started to ask, I started to go on the internet. I tried everything possible out there in terms of a method or a technique. And it still affected me during my time at university. And when I graduated in 2004 and I started to work, it even affected me there, you know?
Mm-hmm. And now, yeah. Can I just ask, when you say that it affected you, do you mean like it affected you like in the sense of how you perceived yourself or how you felt about stuttering? Was it more of an emotional affect?
Well, I would say primarily it affected me emotionally, of course, because it basically made me feel so low of myself, you know, that I wasn't able to express myself very well to people at work, for example. If there was a meeting, I wasn't able to express exactly what I wanted to my manager, and this basically made me feel, you know, I mean, it made me feel very bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that, like, I know that I have the skills needed for the job, let's say, but I wasn't able to express them, you know? So I would say on an emotional level, it did affect me. On a social level, to a certain extent, you know, because most of the time I would stay away from, you know, groups of large people who are having meetings or you know, things like that. And I would say it wasn't until I came to Canada, actually, in 2009, where I was more open about my stuttering. Because basically, when I was still there, I would not go and tell people that I stutter. I would always try, to hide it from them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't open about it. But basically, by the time I reached Canada and I came across a very open society, you know, I started to think that it's time that I should be open about my stuttering with everyone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
What do you mean that you came across a very open society when you came to Canada? I mean, did you run into people that were stuttering openly?
Truthfully, no. I still haven't actually met a single person over here that stutters.
Oh my goodness.
Except online, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was living in UAE, I think it was only once over there where I came across a person who stutters. So
you've never met another person who stutters in person?
No. Over here I haven't met anyone except online, you know, where I meet so many people on Facebook, you know, or we go online and we speak together and things like that.
Right.
So, yeah. So I think, I mean, it was in here. Because when I first came to Canada, I went and I saw a therapist. And she basically advised me that, you know, I have to be more open about it, basically, over here. And I think to a certain extent, it did help. You know?
Mm-hmm. So was she encouraging you to advertise your stuttering?
Not advertise it, but in the sense that basically I should not try and like let's say if I am speaking with someone and I feel that I'm going to stutter, then I have to stutter, you know? She
mm-hmm.
said, don't try to avoid it by using a different word, for example, or things like that. If you feel that you need to stutter, stutter instantly on that, you know, specific
mm-hmm.
moment. Let the people know that you stutter. There is nothing to be, you know, nothing to fear.
How did you feel about that when she suggested that, and when you first started trying it?
Well, it wasn't easy, and I actually tried to oppose the idea so many times in the beginning, but she kept insisting that I have to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, when I started to go online much and watch all these, you know, like, for example, I went on YouTube and I'm watching all these people online having all these videos, and they're open about their cases. You know, I was like, if they are open, then I also should be open about it. And there's nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So it sounds like you're well on your way towards your journey with acceptance? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, yes, precisely. I mean, I would say I accepted it years back, you know. But the thing is, I didn't probably approve that I should be open about it to people, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only part missing, I would say, the whole thing.
So in your work now as a in the IT field and as a commercial photographer, do you let clients know that you stutter?
I mean, I don't go and say it like the first thing when I meet them that I stutter, you know. But the thing is, if like during a call or a meeting, I feel that I'm going to stutter, I do stutter, and then I let them know, and I tell them, see, and most of them take it normally, you know. Nobody like. I mean, some people try to be nice more and, you know, thinking that. But I'm like, no, I mean, it's fine. I stutter. There's nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big deal.
Have you had any negative reactions from people that you work with in regards to your stuttering?
Over here in Canada, no, not really. I've never encountered any experience like that, but I would say even when I was working in UAE, I don't recall that I had such experiences, but I mean, probably the times that affected me the most with this is back when I was in school. So I think that's where I had most of my problems, you know, because back then when I used to stutter, all these people around me, they're making fun of me the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, that's the part where it made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
But like, in my work area, no, not really.
Do you think when that was happening back in the UAE, when you were, you know, being made fun of frequently, did that affect your self-esteem?
Oh yeah, for sure. It affected my self-esteem very well. I mean, I recall so many times I didn't want to go to school in the morning when I woke up. I wanted to stay home all the time. I sometimes stayed in my room for the whole day. I locked myself. I didn't want to speak with anyone. I thought that if I stay quiet all the time, that would be the best thing I can do. You know, I mean, it wasn't a good time at all for me back then. It was really tough.
I can relate, because for many years during my young adulthood and mid adulthood, I did the same thing. I thought that stuttering was so shameful, and I felt so less than other people that I also tried to do anything that I could to hide the fact that I stutter. And for me, the way that I was able to do that most successfully was simply by not talking.
Mm-hmm.
And that was tough, because I'm a person who likes to talk. Or at least I've discovered that in the last 5 or 6 years when I basically decided that, you know, I'd had enough of missing out on life's opportunities, and I did reach the point where, you know, I just made that personal decision that I stutter and it's okay. And I'm gonna live my life as a person who stutters, and it's been very liberating and very freeing for me to go from covert to overt and realize that I didn't get struck by lightning or anything.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so it sounds like maybe you're having a little bit of that experience as well by, you know, telling people it's okay, I stutter, and being okay with it.
Yeah, I'm fully okay with it right now. I have no shame at all. I'm happy, you know. I accept it with an open heart, and you know, and I know that this is me. And probably it's always going to be me, and I'm very fine with it.
Do you continue to see the therapist that you first began seeing when you moved to Canada?
No. I saw her only for like a year, and then that was it. Because when I saw her, I was still doing my master's, mm-hmm. and during the master's, they actually allowed us to have a certain number of sessions with a therapist, and that's when I used them to see her.
I see. And did she teach you any techniques to either manage your stuttering or to practice fluency?
No, she hasn't actually. Most of what we did was I used to go to the office and sit and talk. That was mostly it. And and she used to tell me that I'm already fine, and I have took a very long step forward, you know, and the only thing remaining is just to be open about it. So,
How do you typically stutter?
See, in my case, it's mostly a speech block, like let's say I'm in class, you know, a typical example, and the teacher wants to ask my name. What would happen then is that the words will not come up. They'll just be stuck, you know, somewhere in my throat. And what would happen is I would breathe in and out heavily, you know. I would make all these faces at the same time, and then the words will not come out. So just to give you an example, you know, of how it actually sounds like I'm in school and someone is like, "What's your name?" And I would basically go like that, you know, Ali, you know. So mm-hmm. it would always go like that. The words will just get stuck and never come out. And this has been the case till now, you know. But I mean, of course, it's less. It's not as frequent as before. But mostly it was this speech blocks all the time, mm-hmm. you know.
Do you recall how you felt when that happened, or even now how you feel when you block?
Of course, I remember it carefully because I'm the kind of a person who likes to write all the time, you know.
So
back then, each time it used to happen, and I used to feel very, very bad about it. I used to go back home and write about it. So mm-hmm. I have a lot of writings since I was, you know, 16 years old, or like, you know, 15. And, I used to call it the devil in my throat.
Really?
Yes, that's the name I used to basically give it. Mm-hmm. You know, to describe how I really felt. You know, there's a devil in my throat who's holding on to the words and doesn't want to let them out. And I have to keep fighting this devil.
Do you find yourself, when you're blocking like that, that you try to push the word out?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like my whole body is trying to push the word out of my throat, but it's refusing for some case, you know, for some reason.
So, the reason that I ask is that I know that when I get stuck or when I get in a block, usually what I feel is helplessness and that lack of control. And for me, that's what's always been part of my frustration with stuttering is, number one, for me, it can be variable. Sometimes I have no idea when it's going to happen. And then when I do get stuck, especially if it's on a word that I couldn't predict that I would get stuck on, that overwhelming feeling of helplessness is what most often sticks with me. And even more importantly is that I can feel that helplessness and lack of control, and most of the time it seems like the listener doesn't even know that it's happening. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course I can relate to that.
It can seem like we're having this whole flood of emotion happening in like that 3 or 4 second experience, and the other person has no idea that we're feeling all that during a stuttering moment.
Yeah, you're right, exactly.
I remember how we engaged on one of the Facebook groups that we both contribute to, and we were discussing how a listener should react to somebody that's suffering. What do you think about that? How should a person react to somebody that's stuttering?
I mean, in my opinion, or the way I see it, I think a non-stutterer should treat a person who stutters, I mean, the same way he would treat another person who doesn't stutter, you know? Because if he puts in his mind that this person stutters, then basically he'll try to treat him in a different way, you know? And I think if I'm speaking with someone and this someone wants to show me a bit of sympathy while I'm speaking with them, I wouldn't like that because that would make me feel different, and I don't want to feel different. I know that I stutter, and I try to accept it as my accent, you know, that I have an accent where I stutter, for example, and I don't want the person in front of me to treat me in a different way, because that is going to constantly remind me that I'm different, which I'm not, you know? So, I mean that's the way I think about it. I might be wrong, I don't know, but I think if the person it treats me normally, then I would just feel better about myself.
Well, it's interesting that you would say I might be wrong, because certainly you're not wrong. That's your opinion and that's your belief, and everybody's belief about how they think we should be treated or listened to or referred to is our truth. So certainly you're not wrong, even though other people's opinions might differ. So it sounds like you're thinking that if somebody treats you sympathetically, like they may be actually feeling a little sorry for you.
Yeah. I don't want that to happen. It's because throughout all my life, and because of my, you know, stuttering and the low self-esteem and the problems it caused me, it kind of makes you always feel like a different person, you know, that the other people are much better than you, only because they don't stutter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so basically, I think if people are going to treat me with a bit of sympathy, then it's going to complement my original feeling of feeling different. You know?
Yes, definitely. I do know what you're talking about, and it sounds like the basic difference between sympathy and empathy.
Exactly. I mean, look at us right now. You and I are speaking together, but normally as we are, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yep. We're speaking just as we would be speaking with anybody else.
Exactly. That's what I mean, you know? No sympathy. It's just a normal, you know, conversation. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing thoughts.
And it's okay, right?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Am I the first person who stutters that you've had a real-time conversation with?
To be honest, I mean, the only time before this where I basically spoke with people who stutter was on the Stutter Social. You know, the Hangout?
Mm-hmm.
The social Hangout. But basically to have a one-to-one conversation like this, no, I would say you're the first person in my life.
And what's it like? What's it like for you, even going back to the Stutter Social, what's it like for you to be listening to other people that stutter?
Well, I mean, frankly speaking, for some reason, it made me smile, and I was very happy. No, you know, because so many times we think that we are unique in such a way that we are the only people who stutter, let's say, or we think, or at least I think, or I used to think, that my case was the worst out of all the cases in the world, let's say, for example, you know, that I stutter the most, and, you know, and all this and that. But when you come to meet other people who stutter like you, it makes you come to yourself and say, no, you know, I think that what I used to think is wrong. There are other people who stutter as well, and each one of them thinks in the same way I do, that my case is the worst, you know? So I think after all, you know, it just makes you feel more at peace with yourself. I really can't explain the feeling right now, but it just makes me happy, you know?
That's nice to hear, because I think there's a tremendous amount of value in talking with other people who stutter, because as you say, it helps us to normalize the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us to realize that no, we're not the only one, and it helps us also to realize how many different types of stuttering there really is. But the main reason that I kind of asked you that is that sometimes I've talked to a lot of people who stutter, because I've done a lot of these conversations, and I've also talked to many, many people who stutter in person. Sometimes people don't want to talk to somebody else who stutters because it reminds them too much of themselves, and it brings like some pain or some shame when you hear somebody else who sounds like you. So it was, it's kind of neat to hear you say that when talking with somebody else, me or people on the stutter social, that it's actually made you feel happy.
It did, and actually, I noticed something that when I'm basically speaking with people who stutter, I tend to stutter more than normal. You know, and I like that. To be honest, I like that.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I'm just fine with it because I think. See, because in normal cases, if I'm speaking with a friend, you know, I would try to avoid, you know, to stutter in front of them. But basically, when I'm speaking with someone who stutters, I don't feel the need to avoid it anymore, and I just stutter freely.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And there's nothing like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. There are no barriers, you know, at all. You just speak the way you do. You stutter, you don't stutter. That's perfectly fine. Because you know for a fact that the person you're speaking with is not going to judge you at all. You know?
Right.
Because normally, always when we're speaking with other people who don't stutter, we have this inner feeling that they're going to. But when we're speaking with people who stutter, you know that they're not going to judge you. And in my case, I think that's why I stutter more.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. So stuttering more is a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Now, going back to something you said earlier, you sometimes refer to the blocking moments as the devil in your throat.
Yeah.
Do you still think of it like that, or is that kind of in the past?
No, I still actually think of it like that, and actually from time to time when I write about it, I still actually refer to it like that, even at this age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think, I remember at the age of 16 or 17 that was, I took an oath that one day I have to beat the devil in my throat. So basically if I need to do that, I need to maintain the label that I gave it. You know?
I gotcha. So when do you think that will happen?
Well, I mean, I don't have any expectations, to be honest. I don't want to always, say that one day, yes, I will do it, because, apparently it may not happen, but at the same time, I think that what matters the most is the experience that I'm having, you know? I'm not much concerned with the end right now, whether basically it's going to go away or not, because I might go away first and it will stay. but I think what matters is the experience, you know, what I'm feeling throughout this journey the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Would you say that your experience with stuttering, past and present, has shaped you into the person you are now?
Definitely, yeah, of course. I would say most importantly, when I was still in high school, I used to be a very angry person. You know, I used to be a very moody person at the same time, and I used to speak so quickly, you know, and so that was really bad, you know, because I was a person who stutters, a person who speaks very quickly at the same time, you know, and I was a person who can get angry very easily. So imagine, you know, what kind of behavior I had. So I think when I started to work on my stutter, the first thing I tried to do is to make myself become a calm person, you know, a quiet person. And I think if it wasn't for my stuttering, probably I would not have made, you know, such an attempt. And I think also because of my stuttering, I think it made me become more of a compassionate person, you know? I was able to value things more in my life, you know, and I think that it kind of manifested itself everywhere else in my relationships with people, the way I would think, you know, about others and things around me, the way I would think about studies, and apparently everything else. So I would say, yes, stuttering has basically shaped my life, but I would say in a very, very positive way.
And do you like the person that you are now?
Yes, I would say I'm very happy with myself. And I'm happy with what I've achieved so far. And I think that I deserve a medal for that.
I cut you off. In compared to what?
I mean, I was saying that compared to the person I was years ago, you know? That's mostly it. Like why a medal is or should be deserved, basically.
Well, if we ever have the opportunity to meet face to face, I will be sure to bestow a medal of achievement on you, my friend.
Yeah, we should soon, actually. At the NSA, you're going there, right?
I am. You are too?
Yeah, I am, actually. I'll be there.
Terrific. That'll be great to meet you in person. Will this be your first conference?
Yeah, this will be my first conference. Mm-hmm.
And what made you decide to attend?
Well, I would say the fact that I'm going to meet so many people like me, or like, you know, sharing the same thing. So I would say, and it's mostly the experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to get out of it as much as possible. But more, I think it's about meeting others.
Yeah, it's so important to be able to meet other people that share the same experience, and who get it, and where you'll be able to have that totally non-judgmental experience and just be. You'll hear lots of people say that it's a life-changing experience, and you'll find that once you get there and you meet so many different people that you can relate to, and it's very special. So I'm really happy to hear that you'll be attending. I'll look forward to meeting you in person, and I guess I better get busy finding that medal. Well, this has been a delight. I'm so happy that you agreed to share parts of your story, and I really appreciate your honesty and willing to go with the flow of a conversation that we weren't sure where it would take us.
You're most welcome. I was very happy to share, you know, I would like to share even more of my experience, only if time permits. But I'm happy that you actually invited me to this. And I think that the feeling is mutual.
Well, again, I appreciate it. And this has been He Stutters, She Asks Him.